Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Preaching Islam is the responsibility of every Muslim individual as far or vis-a-vis the capacity he finds himself in. So therefore, the responsibility of a common person is different from that of a scholar of Islam. Similarly, the responsibility of the prophets of God is entirely different from the responsibility of a state regarding Islamic preaching. So therefore, one has to be very, very careful regarding the issue of preaching. It is not that the responsibilities of preaching is imposed on Muslims in equal capacities. It is different regarding different capacities. Now, there are some misconceptions which circulate in Muslim minds regarding the circle of authority and regarding the preaching responsibility. One such misconception is the notion that Muslims think that curbing evil is something, a responsibility, something of a responsibility which is imposed on every Muslim. Wherever he finds some evil going on, the greatest status or the greatest level of in the eyes of the Almighty is that he forcibly tries to curb this evil, tries to stop this evil. And this whole verdict or this whole inference has been taken from a particular narrative of the Prophet, which I'll read out to you. The words of the narrative are, "Man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadi, fa illam yastati fa bilisani, fa illam yastati fa biqalbihi, wa zalika azraful iman." When any person amongst you sees an evil, he should try to curb it by his hands. If he does not have the faith, if he does not have the power to do so, he should try to curb it by his tongue. And even if this is not possible, then he should consider it bad in his heart. And this is the lowest level of faith. Zalika azaful iman. So on the basis of this narrative, it is construed that it is essential, or in order to be on the highest level of faith, it is essential that Muslims must curb evil wherever they see it by their force, by the force of their hands. And so therefore, whenever a Muslim thinks that he is seeing this evil, even though it may be somewhere else in the society, this, according to this understanding, it is essential that he go there and he try to stop it with whatever force he has, because that would be the highest level of faith. And if this is not possible, of course, then as the narrative says, then there are various levels of faith on which we'll have to remain content with. Now, if we analyze this whole narrative in the light of the Quran, we come to realize that it has been grossly misinterpreted. The istita'at, or the power or the possibility of power used here, or the expression used here, does not relate to the power which relates to one's physical strength or means and resources. The power or the istita'at which the narrative speaks relates to the istita'at of faith, or the power of faith, or the level of faith one has. So therefore, this whole narrative relates to one's circle of authority. In other words, if a person does not stop evil from in his own circle of authority with his force, then this is something which will not be considered as the highest level of faith. A Muslim who wants to remain on the highest level of faith, he must curb his evil, not evil found in everywhere in the society, but the evil which is found in his old circle of authority, wherever he is in charge of something. Thus, for example, a person who is the head of the family, a husband or a father who is the head of the family, he should stop evil in his own house. He should not allow evil to flourish in his own house by force. And this is something which would be regarded as the greatest level of faith. This whole narrative does not relate to areas which are beyond one's circle of authority, simply for the reason that the word Zalika Azaful Iman can only be spoken of in the case when a person has the authority to do something and still he does not do it. However, when he does not have the authority at all, then and Islam never regards that person to be on a lower level of faith, because simply so the circumstances were such that he was not given those authorities or those powers. So therefore, it is essential to understand that in this particular narrative, the word istita'at does not relate to one's means and resources and one's physical strength. And what it relates to is one's strength of faith. We can have a very, very clear analogy of this in other directives of Islam. So, see, for example, it is said that if a person has to do wuzu and there is no water, then he can do tayammum. In other words, if he does tayammum in case of wuzu, he would be receiving the same reward, because the absence of something, it was something which did not penalize him, which did not reduce his reward, simply because the circumstances were such. So in a similar manner, if a person is not in a circle of authority, he does not have the power to exercise his authority, it does not mean that he would be on a lower level of faith. As a result, the other important conclusion is that a person has not been made responsible for areas to curb evil by force which do not lie in his area of responsibility or in his circle of responsibility. So, in a nutshell, we can say that this narrative specifically relates to the istita'at which is found within the person's circle of authority. If a person does not forcibly stop evil in his own circle of authority, then he would be sinning. You can say that he would be on a lower level of faith. So it was not at all necessary for Muslims to go out in the society and find wherever evil they find, they start to curb it or to stop it by force, because that would be an erroneous understanding of this narrative. This narrative does not give an absolute area of authority to all Muslims. It does not say at all that wherever on earth they find an evil, it is their highest level of faith which tells them to stop it by force. This particular narrative relates to the circle of authority in which a person finds himself in. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.